Evening Central Baptist Church. We're diving straight in again, continuing in our morning devotions. We find ourselves in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8 to 13, and I hope it's been a great blessing to you. So I'm going to run straight in. I'll explain a little bit more when I mean indicative and imperative, but let's run straight into that list that Paul gives us. He gives to Timothy to say, this is what you have to look for the qualification of a deacon, that the men and women that you want to call to be deacons in your church, this is what they need to look like. So he starts off by saying, this person must be dignified. They must be dignified. And Paul explains to Timothy what being dignified is, and he explains that by saying what is not. And he says, a dignified person is not double-tongued. A dignified person is not addicted to much wine, and a dignified person is not greedy for dishonest gain. These are the three things that a dignified person is not. And so when Timothy, you're looking around the church, looking for people to serve alongside you as deacons, these are the people you need to look for. They must be dignified people. And secondly, he says, it must be someone who understands the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. And this is important because I think in our day and age, you so easily make it that a deacon is someone who just needs to lift up chairs and put them there or ensure that the maintenance is done well or ensure that that's put in the right place. But actually, a deacon, just as much as an elder, is someone who needs to understand the gospel very, very clearly. And he uses the words that he used in 1 Corinthians, that it's this mystery that has been hidden for ages and generations, but has now been revealed to the saints, that to them has made known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's to say, Timothy, look for men and women who understand that truth, who understand that Christ has been revealed to even the Gentiles, and that he is the hope of glory for all men. It's men who embrace this gospel, and those are the men and women who need to serve as deacons in the church. They must be tested first and seen to be blameless. And that's to say, before you choose them, these are not people who need to qualify themselves after they get the job. They must be doing the job already. They must already be blameless. They mustn't be people who find themselves to be dignified after they're chosen, but it must be people who are dignified before they're chosen. So they must be tested first. Don't choose someone who you say, yeah, they're not so great now, but if we give them this position, they'll be better. So Paul is saying to Timothy, be careful of that you choose someone who's tested first. And then fourthly, their wives must be the same, and they must be deemed to be faithful as well. Because remember, in the Bible, what we believe about marriage is a man and a woman are two people, but they come together and they become one. And so they almost serve in their oneness. And so you shouldn't find a husband, but the wife is completely not involved and does not really care for the bride of Christ in that way. No. You want someone who, them and their wife together. And this is also a clear sign to us that the wife himself must be these things, must be dignified, they must be blameless, they must be deemed to be the type of person who can serve in these qualifications, which is very different from that of an elder, by the way. And so, and lastly, they must lead their households well, they must lead their children well. And that's an important one. If you're going to lead the household of God, you must be able to lead your own household. Because if you don't do well at your own household, you won't be able to do well at the household of God. And verse 13 is a very encouraging verse that I'd love to read out if you would give that to me. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. And so this verse is just a great gem there to be put for as an encouragement for those who do go on to be deacons and serve in the church in that way. That's to say that, number one, you gain a great standing for yourself. But number two, even more important, it gives you great confidence of your own faith in Christ Jesus, almost a great assurance of yourself, of your own faith. That's not to say these good works are what I gain in you, your faith. No, but these good works are a fruit of your faith. So they reveal to you that, man, God, Jesus is really, really at work in me. And why I say that why I mention that last is because it's how Paul always wrote his letters. He always starts off by giving us these indicatives to remind Timothy that this is what God has done. This is what God has done in the person of Jesus. Remember this, Timothy. And so when you go and make commands, which are imperatives, you don't say, build up these commands among yourself. No. Let what Jesus has done for you Let the fact that Jesus has died on the cross for you and rose again as the first of many, that you too will rise, let that that gospel be the motivator for you to go out and love and serve others, to say, because Jesus has done it all for me, how then can I not do it for others? He's given me everything, and so I'd love to share that with others. So lastly, what do I like? I like to finish off with applications. My first application is pray. Pray for men and women like this, you can be a man and woman like this, that we can have a lot of men and women like this in our church at Central Baptist, but in the church universal, that the church can be blessed with men and women like this. And secondly, if you feel like you don't fit any of these things, my call to you to say, return to Jesus, return to the indicative, read chapter 1 and 2 properly and see, do I believe this gospel that has been sprouted to me, and then return to Jesus.